The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good morning, Pittsburgh. There's no pump. I'm going to say that right away. Get your disappointment out of the way. It's only me. Part-time pump will be back Thursday. Maybe not Thursday. Maybe Friday. Maybe not Friday. But we're definitely having a Donnie Football Friday. It's just me and Limits and a lot of Steeler talk here. Also, maybe some Rich Rod talk. There was some palace intrigue here. With apparently Pony ripping Crowley. Is that what happened here, Limits?
I'm not sure, but I would not be surprised if that was the case.
We may get to that in a little while. But first, talking about palace intrigue, we have the Steelers and we have George Pickens. Why don't you update us on what's happening? Things appeared to be happening real time as I walked in the door here this morning, Limits, and I'm very confused. Of course, I also haven't checked in on your well-being. Are you okay?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about yourself?
Another elite sweatshirt game today. I'm doing well. We both have great sweatshirts. Mine is from, it says Canton, Pro Football Hall of Fame. One of my fond memories of Ron is him and I traveling to the Hall of Fame together. We drove to Canton. What was it, a year and a half ago, maybe? If that long?
If it wasn't even that long, I produced that show. Long.
You produced it?
I did.
We drove together. I drove, and in the middle of the drive, we were out in somewhere Ohio, in the middle of a cornfield, and I had a blowout come on. It was the biggest blowout since Lakers 148, Celtics 102 in 1986, game one of the finals. They called it the Memorial Day Massacre, and I couldn't find anywhere to go. I couldn't find a place to go in Ohio. And then finally, we pulled into a little tiny deli. And when you're in that situation, Limits, you have to put on a front that you're buying something. You can't just walk into a tiny hometown deli, blow the place out, and leave. Can you?
Well, you can if you're disrespectful to the deli, apparently. But you didn't want to be.
I mean, the deli was the size of this studio, and you could tell it was important to this little town in Ohio, so I needed to buy a water. So even that, I mean, it was horrifying. I bought a water. There were two people working in there. I bought the water at the counter, then went in and you know, destroyed the place and then left. It felt horrible, and yet it felt great.
Well, that's very nice of you to do.
I thought so. And then Ron and I were on our way to Canton. Was it nice of me to do? I don't know.
No, not at all. But at least you had the courtesy to buy a water, all $1 worth.
It's more like $3 for a bottle of water these
How
days.
How ridiculous is that, by
is
the
Crowley
way?
Is Crowley breaking the chairs intentionally in here? Now this thing's broken. The other day it was just the right little, what's this thing called?
The armrest.
Armrest.
It has a little dent in it, doesn't it?
Both of them do, and Crowley ripped this one. Now it's ripped. Beside the point. Very special memory with Ron. Not that particular part of it, but driving to Canton, doing a great show with all the Steeler busts. I forget how many are in the Hall of Fame now. Is it 17? Is it double that? I don't even remember. But they were all out. They were out of the little room there and out in the little area where we were doing the show. And we had a great time, Ron and I. We didn't always have great times, but that day was a great time. So I'm wearing a Canton shirt. Why don't you tell the people what you're wearing?
I have a 2023 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship sweatshirt. It was the first and second rounds in Greensboro when Pitt beat Iowa State, and then Pitt played Xavier.
Were you there?
I was there covering it.
Aren't you something? Huh?
How about that?
Well, update us on Pickens. What's happening here?
According to Steelers Insider, or as we like to call him, Steelers Apologist, Mark Cabali on this show, he went on with the morning show today and said, I wouldn't anticipate George Pickens playing for a couple of weeks.
Ooh.
A couple of weeks. So that means Philadelphia, at least. And then, I mean, Baltimore as well. That's significant. And then they play against the Chiefs on a short week on Christmas.
Yeah, why would he play in that one suddenly? If you're anticipating a couple of weeks, I don't think he's coming back on Christmas Day, is he?
He'll be just like Frosty the Snowman. He'll be back on Christmas Day.
By the way, unless he melts. By the way, it's 10 days. Three games in 10 days, so a couple of weeks would encompass three games, not two.
Yeah, you're talking, what, 15 days right now? 15 days?
Exactly. It would be right on the cusp. So do we believe Cabali then?
I don't have any reason not to believe Mark. I mean, why would he mislead us in this? He's definitely talking to somebody that has to know. But a couple of weeks, we went from, yes, George Pickens is participating in the walkthrough, is going to play against the Browns, to, well, now he's not going to play and we want to hold him out and we want to be cautious with it. So now he's going to be out a couple weeks. So I wonder where everything suddenly shifted.
Well, I don't know, but I have a question for you. And I'm getting this weekly in my mailbag at the Post-Gazette, intergalactically read. Where is Roman Wilson? Does he still exist?
Yeah.
I mean, look, the other guys have done a representative job. Tomlin was right about that. But now the competition stiffens. And I'm not even saying Roman Wilson is some sort of answer here. I just want to be able to answer that question. Like, is he a viable option? Is he practicing? What's happening with him? Forgive me. I don't know. I asked Fittipaldo like 3 weeks ago. He said he doesn't think he's going to play again this year or at all this year.
We've talked to some people who said that, yes, they think maybe Wilson is going to suit up in a game or two at the end. But this is basically a redshirt year for him.
What happened to him?
There has been no updates.
He was picked 84th in the draft. That's pretty high.
I picked him as my Steelers Rookie of the Year this year.
And then he just didn't seem to, well, to put it mildly, impress Tomlin.
No.
If first impressions are everything, then this was nothing. I mean, this was not good.
Oh, he was a healthy scratch for 2 weeks, and he got in and he played five snaps one game.
Very strange situation. So then I guess we have to ask, you know, with those guys with the lesser lights performing at times this year, including a little bit against Cleveland, little Scotty Miller here and there, do you have confidence in this receiving core after Pickens? I sure as
no,
hell don't.
No, not at all. Not at all. Mike Williams, I was encouraged by what I saw. But, I mean, he's, what, four catches as a Steeler in as many games?
I guess I'm encouraged. You know, Mike Williams, to me, is a moon ball option and not much else. If you want to include the sideline fade as a version of the moon ball, he just seems to be a jump ball guy, which is fine in and of itself. He doesn't strike me as a number two guy, let alone with Pickens out, a number one guy. My God, he doesn't strike me as that. I don't think he's been open at all this year. Like, ever. Not once.
No, and Van Jefferson doesn't separate. He can't create space. I don't know if that's age, if that's just Van Jefferson, the wide receiver, not being able to do so, because we know he's a number four.
Yeah.
So there are problems. Like, Joe, I am significantly more concerned waking up today than I was yesterday about their chances to win in Philadelphia. I think their chances have dropped by 5 to 10%.
I don't know about that. Wonder Twin, there seems to be a lot of upset in Philadelphia. Like I said yesterday, I've never seen anything like it. the more they win, it's usually if you lose, the drama increases. It seems to me that that team, the more they win, the more problems they have. They've won 9 in a row. They're 11-2 on a 9-game winning streak. And it just seems like trouble, trouble, trouble. That's all there is in Philly, is trouble. The latest I was gathering intel on this morning was Brandon Graham, their injured veteran linebacker. Veteran apologist Brandon Graham was talking about A.J. Brown and Hurts. Now, I don't think you need Sherlock Holmes to decipher issues there. Brown came right out after the game the other day and someone said, you know, if there's an issue with the offense, what is it? Passing, he said. In a word, passing. That's all he said. He wants the ball more. Their downfield passing game, in spite of all these wins, has not been great. So then we hear, was this in a news conference setting
that this happened? That was a podcast.
A podcast. All right, let's hear it.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he noticed. He, you know, I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed. And I understand that because life happens. But we got to, it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business. And that's what we got to do better as right now, because we know it's an issue. Everybody's seen some things, but we need to be able to talk things out as men. You know what I'm saying? But we need to let personal stuff go and let's get right for this game, because, man, it's like a lot of stuff. Most of the time, it's just a conversation that just need to be had. But the person with the problem got to want to talk to the person other than others.
Wow. So it sounds like, now, did he come out later and say, gee, I'm sorry that I said all that? I think he did.
He said, I was wrong. I had it wrong. I made a mistake. Yeah, right.
You had it wrong. You're in the locker room. You're one of the veterans. You know everything that goes on, but you got it wrong. Now he sounds like a reporter.
There it is. There's his quote. I made a mistake, and I assumed that it was something that it wasn't. I just want to win so bad that I don't want to use the media when we need to talk about something and we can fix the problem ourselves. I didn't add it in a good light. So that's my bad.
I have news for veteran Steelers apologist Brandon Graham. He is the media when he's on a podcast. Cam Hayward is a media guy. When you do your own podcast, you're in the media, whether you like it or not. That is a media function when you're commenting on everything left and right, like this guy was the other day. Who would know better than him? Who would know better than him?
Yeah. I mean, Cam Hayward, I'm sure, feels the same way when he does his podcast.
What do you mean?
That he should feel the same way. He's in the media. He knows that his comments are being said in a media form.
Yes, of course.
Why does Brandon Graham not understand it? I feel like Cam Hayward does.
And it sounds like Brandon Graham was blaming A.J. Brown, by the way. And the selfishness here is just off the charts. It really is. It's off the charts. They're 11-2. They've won 9 in a row. Life should be good. You should be saying things like, yeah, of course, you know, everybody wants, you know, the ball more, but we're winning. We got an MVP running back on our team who's setting records. If I have to take a back seat for a little bit while we're winning, that's fine. I know they're going to need me, and I'll be ready in the biggest games. Instead of being an unbelievable baby, this guy. He leads the team in catches. He only has 48, but he's on his way to easy over 1,000 yards. He has a couple good games. He could have 6 to 8 touchdowns. This guy could have 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns at the end of the year with a couple big games. What an unbelievably selfish player that is. And it sounds like his own teammates know it. So, good for the Steelers, though, going into this game, that you have a little bit of this going on. Bad for the Steelers that George Pickens apparently won't be there. Eagles are second in the league in pass defense. Eagles are just very good. They've had some struggles lately. We know that. They barely got by Carolina. But before that, they beat Baltimore. Before that, I don't know if anybody watched the Rams-Bills the other day. The Rams can put up points. And the Eagles pretty much stifled them 37-20. They beat Washington. beat Green Bay earlier this year. They lost to Atlanta by a point, and then they had a bad game against Tampa. So 9 wins in a row, and there's problems in Philly. Just incredible. Jason Lockenfora was on with the Morning Guys, by the way, saying that maybe the Steelers are catching the Eagles at a good time because of all this. And it is fair to point out, like, their passing game hasn't exactly been lethal. There are issues there. The past 2 games, Jalen Hurts has a total of 226 yards passing. Jalen Hurts is putting up Kenny Pickett-like passing yardage totals.
So you're saying Kenny should play in this game, the get-back revenge game for Kenny?
He might put up more yardage right now, but they're still winning. I mean, a win at Baltimore is a good win, regardless of Justin Tucker's issues. That's a pretty good win, right?
Yeah, it's an incredible win. I mean, people are still on national networks trying to say that. I saw on Breakfast Ball yesterday, yeah, the Ravens are still better than the Steelers, despite being up 2 games, despite having the head-to-head matchup. Yeah, they're still better.
Well, I mean, that story's yet to be told. Right now, the Steelers have been the better team, and they beat the Ravens, but there's still a lot of ball to be played here and a story to be told. It's just A.J. Brown, just, man, what a selfish player. That's what I have to say about that. To come out like that when your team is winning on a winning streak. Having said all that, I actually do think that the Steelers will be very, very competitive in this game, and that 5.5 is a little bit big for a margin. How do you feel?
Since the calendar and the schedule came out, I felt like Philadelphia, if there's one game that you could chalk up as a loss for the Steelers, it would be this game. Because of the history that they have in Philly, that Chuck Knoll's never won there, Bill Cowher's never won there.
I mean, and does that matter at all?
I feel like does.
I don't think it does even 0%. Not even up to 0%. Who cares what Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher's teams? How many times have they played in Philly, by the way? I keep seeing these headlines and these stories of Steelers winless in Philly since 1965. How many games have they played there? Limits. Do you know?
I am looking at it right now. So since 65,
yes.
They played in Philadelphia in 66.
We don't have to go through the whole thing. We don't have to go through the whole thing. It hasn't been a ton of times.
Roughly 9 or 10 times.
Okay. And the last one was when the Eagles smoked them a couple years ago. I remember that. What was the score? 35-13?
35-13. They crushed them 34-3 in 2016.
Yeah. I don't know if that's relevant or not.
Well, I mean, Tomlin's lost in Philadelphia, what, 3 times? Out of the 5 that they've played, he's been the head coach.
I know. I know he has. One of them was an ugly loss with Ben, where they almost broke Ben in half, a 15-6 loss, but the Steelers came back that year, I think, to win the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, they did, in 2008 was a year. I don't know. I don't know if that's important right now. What seems vitally more important is, what do you do about Saquon Barkley, and how do you pass the ball in this game? How do you move the ball through the air? The Eagles are a pretty stout defense.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean has had an incredible rookie year.
I mean, I'm not encouraged by this development at all with Pickens, although I'll also say this, that if it's a situation where if this were a playoff game, he could play, but you're keeping him out to preserve him, I actually agree with that line of thinking. If that's the case, there's no way of knowing if this were a playoff game, would Pickens play? I have no idea. But if they're erring on the conservative side, I like that mode of thinking. And as I mentioned to Bob, these are gigantic games. There's no question about it. You still have a realistic chance at the number one seed. You go into Philly and win, and who knows what the Chiefs are going to do on any given week. You could make that Christmas Day game very interesting, pending the Baltimore result. And why wouldn't you feel good about a game against the Ravens? The Steelers never lose to the Ravens anymore. So all things remain possible here. But it still feels like coming out of this brutal, ridiculous, unprecedented 3-game stretch, playing 3 brutally physical, very talented teams in 10 days, coming out of it healthy would be a win for me. Now, I'm not giving out the pony free pass. That doesn't mean that. I just mean when we all look up after these three games, if the Steelers are healthy and ready to go in Cincy and then into the playoffs, to me, that would be very, very significant. It would. I would actually, you know, if you told me somebody like Watt or Hayward was going to be hurt, but you could go 3-0, forget that. The good health going into these playoffs is paramount, because Tomlin, while he has earned the criticism he's gotten for their horrific playoff performances over the past 7 years or so, even stretching back a little further if you want to include some, he has been ravaged by key injuries. There's no doubt.
I mean, yeah, not as much this year.
Well, no, they haven't played. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Will this be the year that he can take his whole army into the battle? You know, or will it be another year like, you know, there's no excuse for the Blake Bortles malfunction, but they also lost a prospective defensive player of the year late in the season in Ryan Shazier and replaced him with Sean Spence, I think, for that game.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, he's gone into Denver to play a team that would go on to win the Super Bowl in a playoff game without Bell or Brown. Two-thirds of the Killer Bees. He did lose Le'Veon Bell, who had carried them historically through the first two playoff games in 16. All they did was hand him the ball, and he gained about 400 yards in two games. He did lose him early in the AFC title game. He didn't have Le'Veon Bell in another game here against the Ravens, a home playoff game. Those are not excuses, but you'd be an idiot to look at those and say, yeah, that didn't have a profound effect on the game. Of course it did. Even going back to his last Super Bowl appearance, they lost Pouncey right before that. Who'd they replace him with? That's a trivia question. I don't know. I forgot. Sean Mahan? Justin Hartwig? No, he was the one before that.
No,
who played center in that game?
Wasn't it like BJ Finney?
No, I can't remember who it was. But that's yet another example of not just injuries to Tomlin playoff teams, but killer injuries. Like the one or two or three guys, if you listed them, chopping off one or two of them for some of those games type injuries. So, yes, these games are huge. They're going to be fun to watch. There's a ton at stake. Man, if you can get somehow still that first round bye, can you imagine how important that would be to this team for a guy like Cam to get that and then to play at home as many home playoff games as you can get? It's not an accident that the two times Tomlin's been to the Super Bowl, it went through Pittsburgh. It's a ridiculous advantage. Not only would the bye provide a rest for aging players, including Russell, by the way, but also just home playoff games give you a gigantic advantage in terms of pass rush and things like that, that extra split second. Don't have to go silent count on offense. It's a huge advantage. Yeah, teams win on the road. They do it frequently in the NFL playoffs, but let's not pretend that there isn't a lot at stake at these games. You want to play as many home playoff games as possible. And having said that, your key guys being healthy is really the biggest win down the stretch here. That would be the biggest win, is to go into playoff game number one, whenever it might be, with a healthy TJ. Oh, I forgot about TJ last year in Buffalo.
Yeah, I didn't even play.
I didn't even mention that one. You go into game one, I don't care who it's against, Ravens, Chargers, Broncos, whatever, with a healthy TJ Watt, a healthy Cam Hayward, a healthy Russell Wilson, a healthy George Pickens, etc. To me, you take your chances then, you know, no matter what. That's paramount. That's the most important thing. I heard the PM guys talking about Pickens as being their most important player yesterday. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
A limitless wonder?
The most important player in terms of what? That they're missing?
On the team. The most important player on the team. I do not agree.
On the team, no, I don't agree with that. It's Russell Wilson.
I think it's TJ Watt, Russell Wilson, and then Pickens. And I know you have depth now around TJ Watt. He's TJ Watt. whatever he's not doing at times lately, other people are, because he's TJ Watt and they're diverting all their attention to him. He's the most important player on the team. But it might be close to being a tie with Russell Wilson. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, he's changed everything.
You want to see Justin Fields against the Bills?
He is their MVP right now. He is the team MVP. I know Chris Boswell has been getting a lot of hypothetical votes and should, but Russell Wilson is the one that's changed everything on this team. I mean, he's proved me wrong. I mean, you have to admit it. He has made this team a Super Bowl, viable Super Bowl contender, and they probably weren't that with Justin Fields.
Do you agree with that? Who is the Steelers' most important player? And do you think they're catching the Eagles at a great time here? I have to laugh in Philly at all the stuff that goes on there. And yet they win. And like I said, it seems the more they win, the more problems they have. It's almost unlike any team in the NFL. Can you imagine how happy virtually every other market in the league would be if they were 11-2 on a 9-game winning streak? And it feels like this dude, Sirianni, is like one bad loss away from everybody wanting to kick him out of town again. Like they have a bad game against the Steelers and lose 27-13. They'll want to run him out of town again.
Yeah, that's every week.
Having said that, Wonder Twin, this is a very interesting matchup of franchises. And it's proof that there's more than one way to skin a cat. The Steelers are the beacon of stability. Hasn't gotten them much lately. Haven't come close, anywhere close to winning a playoff game in 7 years. However, they still win more than they lose. They go to the playoffs. They keep people happy. They keep people raving nationally about their coach every single season, because they do just enough to satisfy the masses, I guess you could say. And they obviously have a hugely successful history of championships. They are the beacon of stability. The Eagles are the opposite of that. They're a beacon of instability, and yet they win. And they win a lot. They were just in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And it might be the fact that there is so much upset with what other Marcus would consider minor defeats or not that bad of seasons, that propels the Eagles to change before other franchises would and keeps them fresh and winning and in contention for Super Bowls. They won a Super Bowl in 2017 with Doug Peterson. They went to the playoffs the next 2 years. Peterson had one bad year, one really bad year. He's out. They bring in Sirianni. His second year, he goes 14-3 and goes to the Super Bowl. The next year, which was last year, they're 11-6. Go to the playoffs, and everybody wants to kick him out of town. That's just the dynamic in Philly. It's different. But, man, they've been pretty successful, too. I'll tell you that. You go back to all the way back to Dick Vermeil. Going to a Super Bowl 1980, going to the playoffs 4 straight years. Buddy Ryan wins 10, 11, 10 games. They can't win playoff games under him. They're changing coaches left and right in spite of people winning 11 games. And in comes Andy Reid, who goes to conference championships all the time, goes to a Super Bowl and loses, goes back to a conference championship. He has one. Well, he had two, but one really horrendous year toward the end. At 4-12, he's out. You bring in Chip Kelly. What does he do? He goes 20-12. And it's like they just had the worst coach. It's like they had, you know, Rich Kotite there or something, which I actually think they did at one point. He goes 20-12, and there's no question that's not good enough. It's like a college program, the Eagles, and I actually admire them for it. It's like, so what if you went 20-12? Get the hell out of here. We don't want that. So they bring in Doug Peterson. And like I said, he gets them to a Super Bowl, wins 13 games, gets them into 2 more playoffs. I mean, 9-7 and going to the playoffs apparently gets you statues around here. In Philly, it's not even a question that you're on a hot seat. if all you're doing is winning nine games and getting to the playoffs, my God, no matter the circumstances. So he's out. Sirianni's in. What is his record, Sirianni? I don't want to do math on live radio here, but he's gone 9-8, 14-3, 11-6, and 11-2. That's 45-19. He's 45-19 since he stepped on campus in 2021, and you get the feeling that every week he's living on the edge, which you could view as ridiculous, or you could view as the anti-Steeler approach. I think we hit on something there, Limits. The fact that more than one model works in the NFL. You know, the Eagles, I think, have had 10 or 11, somewhere in there, double-digit win seasons, maybe more than that. I just counted them up and have already forgotten, which tells you the state of my brain and mind these days. They have about the same amount of double-digit win seasons as the Steelers this millennium, since it turned in 2000. They've been to bunches of conference championship games and a couple Super Bowls and won one, and especially over these last 7 years when the Steelers, again, haven't even been competitive in a playoff game. In 7 years, the Eagles have won a Super Bowl. They've won a couple other playoff games. They lost a Super Bowl, a great game against the Chiefs. Here's the question. And I came in intending to talk about it, but I didn't really have it whittled to what I wanted to ask until I started talking about it out loud. And then you and I kibitzed during the break.
Good word.
I love that word. Which model do you prefer? Both clearly work. The if you want to call it the impatient model of the Eagles or the ultra-patient model of the Steelers. And I guess along those same lines, is the Steelers' historic stability, patience, a point of pride for you as a Steeler fan? Because, you know, the track record, at least long-term, historically, speaks for itself. Most Super Bowl wins ever, along with the Patriots. Lots and lots of success. Even when they're not successful, you can say they are, depending on your definition of success. Always competitive. Is that a point of pride for you as a Steeler fan? I mean, it's really the calling card of the franchise. Is we've had three head coaches since 1969. It gets mentioned in every broadcast. It's the calling card of the franchise. Super Bowl wins historically, an ultra patient, stable ownership, coach, team. Is that stability, again, depending on how you want to define it, a point of pride for you? For a Steeler fan, if an Eagles fan says, yeah, that's great, we change coaches all the time and we win. We have our standard is actually higher than yours, because when we don't feel like we're meeting it, we get rid of people. And yet, look at them. Look at them over these past 7 years. Look at them really since the year 2000. Lots of winning, lots of conference championship appearances, couple Super Bowl three Super Bowl appearances. And a Super Bowl win. So which do you prefer? Would you prefer as a Steeler fan? Now, asking in this season is different than I asked you at the same time last year, right? Because Tomlin has had a bounce back year and is having a really good year. Sitting here at 10-3. But a lot could change, really, for better or worse, over these next four games. Like, the tale of Mike Tomlin's season is yet to be told, right? This could wind. I got asked in the old mailbag today Is this Tomlin's best regular season coaching job? And there's a lot to look at there. This person seemed to feel like it was. The first part of my answer was, man, it's a little early to tell because the gauntlet is here. If they win, they sweep all these games, and they get a one seed and win the division and all that, I think it's unquestionably his best coaching job, the way he's managed the quarterbacks.
And he'll win Coach of the Year.
No question. But there's also the other extreme. What if they lose all three and they're 10-6 going into the Cincy game? Last game of the year. What if they wind up 10-7? That's not out of the question. I think it's going to be somewhere in between. I think they have a really good chance here to finish with 12 wins, which I think Tomlin has done five times already. Once 13 wins. He did a very good coaching job that year in the regular season. 2017 was the only time he won 13 or more. But I think that's, right now, that's a pretty good question. But which model is preferable in the NFL? Which do you like better? And is it a point of pride for you that the Steelers are associated with, they are the all-time model of stability in the NFL? Again, depending on how you define that, they've been stable for 7 years. They also haven't won a damn thing or come close to it in 7 years. 412-928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Which do you like better, Limits? Which is the better model in this league?
I personally, they're both good models. I personally like the Steelers' motto just because of the stability and consistency. And because I'm not, at least for me, the biggest proponent of change. Like, I don't really like when things change significantly all the time. That, like what happens in Philadelphia. So that's why I prefer the Steelers model.
Yeah.
And I think it's a more consistent one dating back historically. I mean, when you compare championships, when you compare relevancy, when you compare the level of importance in the NFL that both franchises have, it's the Steelers, and then Philadelphia is much more further down.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, it's kind of unfair too, probably, to point to the Eagles as this rash, impatient franchise. I mean, Andy Reid was there for 14 years. That's one of the longest tenures with one team in the history of the NFL. So they were plenty patient with him. But then they've gone from Kelly to Peterson to Sirianni, despite each guy having some degree of success in fairly rapid succession. I would say even 5 years this day and age isn't a short stint in the NFL. You know, so it's not like they're willy-nilly, you know, New York Jets style here, going crazy. But they seem to have a certain standard that if it's not met, it's time to move on, even after 4 or 5 years, even if you've been to a Super Bowl. That to me is the difference. You know what I mean?
Well, and Howie Roseman has been there for a long time as well. Like that core executive group that they have in their front office, plus the ownership group, has been there for a while. And I think that's where it all starts. So it's not like there isn't stability in the organization. They do like to fluctuate head coaches. And maybe it's just the Philadelphia culture that rubs off on the Eagles, because it rubs off on pretty much every sports team that they have, that they want to quickly move off of somebody.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the cultural differences
except
between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Well, except Andy Reid, because he was one of the best coaches in the NFL at the time.
I mean, yeah.
Still is, but
I mean, Peterson had a pretty good run there, too.
Yeah.
And 5 years is, again, not how many guys in the NFL have been coaching their team for 5 or more years?
Andy Reid's an ultimate separator, though, because we've seen him be able to do it with multiple different teams. Doug Peterson is failing miserably in Jacksonville. So we know that Andy Reid is kind of an outlier, at least for me, in the debate and conversation. Peterson not doing well. What would Sirianni get as another head coaching job? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, the point being that in these last 7 to 10 years or so, the Eagles haven't been afraid to move on from coaches when the standard wasn't being met or wasn't really conceivable to them. You know what I mean? So again, Chip Kelly, 20-12. 10-6.
Pretty good.
Yeah, twice, you know, things like that. But again, we'd be having a very different conversation last year at this time. Tomlin has sort of restabilized. You know what I mean? Let's see how the rest of this season goes, but he's
restabilized this year.
A texter points out, I think over the past 7 years, the Steelers have been too patient with Mike Tomlin. I can agree with that.
Like, so would I, yes.
Were there points in times in the last 7 years where maybe everybody was in the consensus of fire Mike Tomlin and the Steelers were patient?
No,
it seemed to just move past it.
A lot of times it has seemed like stability for stability's sake, but they've also made changes in their organization. Andy Wida would be one. Obviously, Omar Khan comes in for Kevin Colbert, who retired. But they've modernized their thinking, I would say. They've been willing to be a little bit more risky, a little bit more new age in their thinking. So
completely.
It's not like there's no change there. We're basically talking about the coach. And they look right at the moment for sticking with Tomlin. Now let's see what happens the rest of this year and in the playoffs.
To complete 180. I mean, they have adopted some Philadelphia tendencies with Andy Weidel here, like moving off Kenny Pickett as quickly as they did after 2 years, bringing in Russell Wilson, bringing in Justin Fields, utilizing Justin Fields on the field, switching him out with Russell Wilson at times. The aggression that they showed in signing Patrick Queen, which they typically don't do with defensive players. What they've done in trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk. A lot of this is on Mike Tomlin. I mean, he is such a big voice in the room. So he has adapted somewhat to the Philadelphia model, even though they're not firing coaches as much as obviously the Steelers do.